This program is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Miller. Welcome to this podcast from Emerging Infectious Diseases. Today, we want to acknowledge and celebrate the life and impact of one of our colleagues who was incredibly influential in the field of clinical microbiology, Dr. Washington Nguyen. His friends called him Wash. He was a talented pathologist, and for 34 years, Dr. Nguyen was the director of the Clinical Microbiology Laboratory at the University of Vermont. Joining me by phone today is Dr. David Walker from the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, Texas, and an associate editor for Emerging Infectious Diseases. Thank you for talking with us today, David.
I'm pleased to be here.
Washington Nguyen Jr. died suddenly and unexpectedly on July the 3rd, 2011, at the young age of 70. Certainly, he left us all a legacy of valuable contributions in microbiology and lived a life worthy of emulation by all of us. David, Wash had so many friends and was a wonderful person and a true gentleman. And in your tribute to him, published in the December issue of Emerging Infectious Diseases, you called him a Renaissance man. I like that. Tell us about that and give us some insight into Dr. Nguyen as a person.
Well, Wash was a very intelligent man, fair-minded. Example of that is he and I are on opposite ends of the country and opposite ends of the political spectrum, and both of us reversed in our locations, me being in Texas, which is very conservative, and him being in Vermont, which is very liberal, that did not match his ideas. But you could engage in a discussion with him and not worry that you're going to end up in an argument that was unfair. He'd give you his ideas, and often his ideas were worth considering because he was so intelligent. He was also a very witty person. He would have some insight into the irony of a situation or the contradiction or just something absurdly funny about anything. And it was a kind humor, not a humor that was biting or scathing, but one that would just put a smile on your lips. And he was forever sending me hilarious things about Texas that he would come across. Wash also had a tremendous fund of knowledge, and he applied this in clinical microbiology every day, I know. He was a very skilled, critical thinker. I know this personally from things that we wrote together. One of our first interactions began after he had left a branch at the CDC that I came to take a position in less than a year after he left. And we had shared a common mentor there that made a huge difference in our personal development and career development, Dr. Fred Murphy, who at one point was the director of the National Center for Infectious Diseases, but at that time was just down at the lowest administrative level of a branch chief. And Wash and I were assigned by him to write and present a paper on the pathology of Lassa fever at a meeting that was held at CDC. And it was such a scholarly thing to see him, how he could put these ideas together. I mean, the two of us together, I think, were a good team, but it was a team that was very strengthened by Wash's ability of critical thinking.
I remember Dr. Murphy also, and this is interesting. Tell us a little more about the road Wash took in his career and how he ended up as such an influential pathologist that specialized in clinical microbiology.
Well, it's not a straight line. I mean, Wash went to undergraduate school at Yale and studied English there, and I think that's one reason he probably was such a good expressing himself. He came back home to medical school at Virginia, and then went off and did an internship in internal medicine, which of course it's a wonderful thing to become a laboratory-oriented scientist that'd be firmly grounded in your knowledge of the patient's issues and the physician's issues that are taking care of the patients. He then went on to do a residency in pathology at one of the premier places in the United States, Washington University in St. Louis. And then back in the Vietnam era, some of us ended up in the Public Health Service and were lucky enough to go to the CDC. And there, Weiss started in the Arbovirus Reference Unit, and then after he worked there for at least a year, he moved over to work with Fred Murphy in the viral pathology branch, which did a lot of electron microscopy and study of viral diseases experimentally. Dr. Murphy is a member of the Institute of Medicine, and he's gone on to become a very famous man. He was also the director, the dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at University of California, Davis, which was obviously one of the top places. Then after that, Wash went to the University of Virginia, where he was on the faculty for 4 years and in the clinical microbiology lab. And then he went to the University of Vermont, where he was the director of clinical microbiology laboratory for the university for 34 years. When he was there, he was really positioned to take advantage of one of those terrible things that comes along that pathologists and physicians do. That was an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease, which was eventually traced to a cooling tower there nearby the medical facility. But there were a lot of cases, and Wash played a big role in defining the pathology of what Legionnaire's disease really was. And then he got interested in research, and he had an NIH grant and studied Legionnaire's disease. His contributions, both in diagnosis and pathology and pathogenesis and immunity, comprised 29 peer-reviewed publications. And then he decided that his real love, what he wanted to make an impact on, was clinical microbiology, and he decided himself, rather than continuing to apply for NIH funding, to go into clinical microbiology. And I know that his impact there at Vermont was tremendous. Two people that he trained I know well. They went on from there to do clinical microbiology fellowships. One of them did it here with me, Rocco LaSala. And they're just passionate about the field as he was, and great memories of him. And give examples of things he did. One example was in an era when he decided that he wanted to use real-time PCR to improve diagnostics in clinical microbiology, and there was no real-time PCR being done for clinical purposes in the institution. And he, within 5 years, had a full menu of homegrown and FDA-approved diagnostic tests. He was a man who was very cost conscious. Being a very conservative Republican, he would not spend a penny on something that wasn't justified. And he yet would not hold back progress. I mean, he was able to do that and justify it. He wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been something that was needed by the patients and he could provide the service and it made sense. One time point, he went off actually and got an MBA. I think today I know a lot of people who get MBAs by going to weekend courses and online things, but Wash went through the full MBA course at University of Vermont. And I know that really had an underpinning of wanting to do things effectively within his profession. And that was, I think, some of the things that he has done I know in clinical microbiology, of course, he made a real mark with his contributions to Kahneman's textbook. Elmer Kahneman started a textbook in clinical microbiology that was called an atlas, but it really had all of the methods and ideas in it that you would need to know. And Wash contributed to that as an author of part of it. And then by the beginning of the third edition, but by the sixth edition, he was the chief editor. And Elmer Kahneman says that was really the pinnacle of the book until that time.
Well, you know, he really did have a lot of contributions in science, but he was such an interesting person. Do you recall some of his the outside hobbies and interests that he really had that he that made him such a fascinating person?
He was a person who would actually just undertake something because it took his fancy. He could play the banjo. He did it well. He could play a fiddle, and he could do that well. He decided that he wanted to learn German, and he studied German and became fluent in German. He got interested in Egyptian hieroglyphics, and he mastered Egyptian hieroglyphics just for the fun of it. He had hobbies that he used his hands with. Growing plants was one of them. He had a collection of bonsai trees that were really, really extensive at his house. And he grew ancient varieties of roses. I mean, he had a lot of things he would do. Some of my fondest memories were sharing rooms with him at meetings of pathology societies, tropical medicine, or infectious diseases. And so we would end up having great conversations. They could go anywhere. But even as much fun as the conversations would be choosing a place to go eat together. I remember one particular meeting in Boston, which must have lasted for 5 days or something. It was one of the longer meetings that I think I could have gone through it and enjoyed the whole thing. And we went to some obscure ethnic restaurant in Boston every night and would figure out what to eat from the menu and get it right. I mean, with Wash's knowledge of food and you know, selecting a good wine. I mean, Wash was a master of understanding what was going to be fun, what was going to be good, and it didn't necessarily depend upon the price. I mean, we could go to some place that really wasn't that cost very much, and would be fantastic.
The interesting thing about Wash was, in fact, his ability to hold conversations that would just draw you in at all times, whether it was scientific or whether it was just his outside interest. You know, with this in mind, one last question, I suppose, is there any specific lesson that we might take from his career as an encouragement to young microbiologists entering this profession?
Probably to more people than that, even. I think he would tell us all to enjoy life. I mean, he was a person who was very productive, but you know, enjoying food, music. He was a passionate lover of opera, wine in moderation, conversation full of ideas, irony, and wit. I think another lesson besides enjoying life would be to maintain a sense of humor. I think his ability to see wit and to bring a smile to one's face on every occasion that you would meet him, what you would not pass without having a smile across your visage, is important. And then the other thing would be to undertake something new when you get the hankering to do so. Not be afraid to just try to get through the things of that you've underbitten off to do, but to think of doing something different. And then probably the last one would be, don't be afraid of being brutally honest. I mean, you know, he would tell you what he thought, but he did it right. He did it with a smile and an attitude of supportiveness. And I think that those things apply to life in general, but they certainly apply to our developing a career in clinical microbiology.
Well, your article was such a fitting tribute to him, and it's so refreshing to find in one professional the highest achievements in his chosen career, but also to exhibit wisdom and humor and insight, honesty and kindness. All of us who had the honor to know him would agree that he definitely made a difference in our science and in our relationships.
I agree, and he is missed. He always will be missed.
Thanks, David. I've been talking with Dr. David Walker about his tribute to Dr. Washington Wynn, Jr. that appeared in the December 2011 issue of CDC's journal Emerging Infectious Diseases. You can see the entire article online at www.cdc.gov. health.gov/EID. If you'd like to comment on this podcast, send an email to eideditor@cdc.gov. That's eideditor, all one word, @cdc.gov. I'm Dr. Mike Miller for Emerging Infectious Diseases.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.